Again, to your Bible reading in Malachi chapter 3, and we're just going to look today at the words of verse 16, Malachi 3 and verse 16. We read here about a book of remembrance, a book of remembrance. Across our nation on Remembrance Sunday, of course, multitudes have stopped to pause, as we have done, to remember the supreme sacrifice of thousands. Let us not forget that the thousands, the hundreds of thousands of brave young men and women who went but never came back. And they have handed on a torch, as McCrae's poem teaches us. They have handed on a torch to you and I today, a torch of freedom and a torch of liberty. And we cannot leave that torch down. The sacrifice of thousands of years gone by is the sacrifice that was made so that you and I would enjoy our liberties today. All across the world today, freedoms and individual liberties are being eroded away. And so I thank God for those men and women who paid that sacrifice, that every liberty that we enjoy today was through their blood and through their work and effort. In our own province today, I'm always mindful of that. There are many homes where we remember the gallantry of the members of our security forces. A few years ago, you'll remember, we went to visit the RUC Memorial Garden in Belfast, which commemorates the sacrifice of the RUC and the officers who were murdered by terrorists as they carried out their duties. They bravely policed the peace. And as you go around that exhibition, you cannot help but come to the same conclusion that in policing the peace, they gave their lives and they stopped a bloody civil war in this little land that we live in. The clamour today is, of course, don't look back. Just look forward. And people say we are where we are. But brethren and sisters, we are where we are because of our past. And especially we are where we are with our liberties because others give their liberty, their freedoms, so that we might enjoy ours today. Our text, Malachi 3:16, reminds us that it's not only us who care to remember, but it tells us here of God's book of remembrance. Now you wonder about that. Does the eternal mind need a book to write things down in so that he can remember the things of the past? Well, you and I know the answer to that. This is an expression after the manner of men. And so it informs us that the deeds of men are kept in remembrance by God. God doesn't need a book to write things down in. He is the omnipotent one. He knows all things. He's never forgot anything. That's a sobering truth. That's a sobering truth for you and I to reckon with today, that every detail about your life and my life is remembered by God. Is remembered by God. That is not only a comfort to us today, but that is a challenge to us today. Our memories no doubt dull with the passing of time. But God has an unchangeable recollection of time. And it's put in this fashion here in Malachi 3 and 16 that he has a book of remembrance. Today, in our time around his book, I want to examine with you some of those entries that God has made in his book of remembrance. And it's amazing to glance at all of the record of Scripture and to consider what God has recorded about us. So what has God remembered about you and I today? So firstly, we'll find recorded a record of our salvation. I find that very wonderful. Verse 16 tells us, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it." Not everybody fears the Lord, brethren and sisters. Not everybody, even in this meeting, truly fears the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. And it is a mysterious truth that the record of the salvation of the saints can be traced back just to the day you were saved. Is that all, how far God goes back? The Bible tells us God goes back right even as we sang with Isaac Watts' paraphrase of Psalm 90 at the start of our meeting. Even before the hills in order stood, or earth received her frame, God has a record of your salvation and my salvation. We read in Ephesians 1, 3 and 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. There's no truth humbles the heart of pride man more than this, the great elective purposes of God in Christ. And it's hard for us to grasp the true meaning of it. We'll not grasp it. I think in all eternity we'll still stand in awe and wonder and in amazement at it, that before the hills in order stood, before the foundation of the earth was laid, God had chosen a people. And God recorded all of the elect before even the foundation of the world was laid. How foolish it is as believers in imagining that God has forgotten about us. Sometimes you're battling, and maybe you're battling against some great difficulty in your own life today or in the life of your family, and you think, oh, God has forgotten about me. How could God forget about you? He recorded your name down even before the very foundation of the world itself. God can never forget about his own elect people. God remembers his own. The Lord has been careful to keep a record of the place of our birth. I love Psalm 87, verse 5 and 6. It says, and of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. Zion, a picture of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. God knows those that are born again by a spirit into the church. And it tells us in verse 6, the Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there. The Lord shall count. Now that tells me God has a number, a definite number that are going to be saved. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people. And the commentary of the New Testament is equally clear upon it. Where's all those names written down? Well, I believe Revelation 21:27 indicates to us, because there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. There's a book of remembrance. There's a book in the final book of the Bible called the book, and it's the Lamb's book of life. And those who have a saving interest in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, their names are in that book. They're all recorded down there. Some people believe you can be saved today and lost tomorrow. Well, you know, if you're to take that theology right through to its last logical meaning, it's as if God wrote down the name and then sin or Satan rubbed out the name. Is it possible that name could be rubbed out? I think not. Only those who have a saving interest in Christ have an entry in this book of remembrance, the Lamb's book of life. Now tell me today, have you sought God for mercy and pardon? We thought of the red of the sacrifice on the poppy, but only those who are under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed on Calvary are truly saved and ready for heaven and home, and whose names have an entry in the Lamb's book of life. And the contrast, of course, is startling. Because if your name is not written there, you can't get into heaven. Your name can be in the roll book of so many other organizations, but if your name is not written down there in the Lamb's book of life, you can't get into heaven. I don't care where my name is not written down, so long as my name is written there in those pages, bright and fair. Make sure, boys and girls and young people and men and women, that your name is written there. God is a book of remembrance. The Bible teaches us about that book under various guises, but that book teaches us that it has a record of our salvation. In this book of remembrance, secondly, God has a record of all our sins. I was looking at some scriptures over the weekend. They startled me again. God has a record of all our sins. In Job 10 and 14, Job said, "If I sin, then thou markest me. If I sin, then thou markest me." It was as if every time Job had a wrong thought, every time Job said a wrong word, every time Job did a wrong deed, that God put a mark against him. And that's exactly what's happening. Every time we sin, God marks it. You know, boys and girls, when you bring your books into school, the teacher marks your homework, right or wrong. There's a mark every time you and I sin. The psalmist took this further in Psalm 133 and 4. He said, "If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who should stand?" God does mark sin. There's a record kept in heaven of all of the law breaking of everybody in this meeting, of everybody in the world, of everybody who's ever lived. God has a record of all of the sins that we have done. But of the same psalm we read, "But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared." I know my sins, and I know God has a record of them. But in the gospel we can say today there's forgiveness with God for those sins. There's forgiveness for every sin that God has marked down against you. How? Through that shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's forgiveness for the foulest offender who truly believes. That moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. And I'm glad today you can receive a pardon for your sin. Paul took this up and he said in Romans 3:23, "All have sinned, irrespective of who you are, Protestant, Roman Catholic, Jew, Gentile, black, white, it doesn't matter who you are. All have sinned, the universality of sin." But how we thank God today for that great offer of salvation to all who'll come to God through Christ for the forgiveness of sins through him. There's a record of our salvation. There's a record of our sins. Thirdly, there's a record of our sorrows. God knows every sigh and every sorrow today. He knows the sorrow of your heart. Even you can't express it to others, he knows the sorrows of your heart. Psalm 56 verse 8 tells us, "Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" Isn't that amazing? The tears of the child of God, again, they're written down in a book. God has a book of remembrance in heaven, and they record the tears of the people of God. I was thinking of some examples where God has recorded the sorrows of men. Would you go with me, please, to the book of Genesis? Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21, we'll start to read at verse 14. Here's one of the saddest incidents in the story of the whole pilgrimage of Abraham. We read, "Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs, and she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot, for she said, 'Let me not see the death of the child.' And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, 'What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is.'" Here was a little boy, Hagar's son, And remember how Sarah and Abraham drove them out of the house. And in the wilderness, the little son was going to die. And Hagar couldn't bear to see it, so she went a bow shot away, which was quite a distance away. But God heard the voice of this lad, this child that was dying. And God intervened. God is touched. I don't think there's anything that touches children that doesn't touch the heart of God. He was touched with the tears, the cries of this little one. And it's recorded. It's recorded here in God's book for us. Genesis chapter 21. God knows the heartaches of family life. God knows. Go with me to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Here we have the well-known story of the family of Hannah and her husband Elkanah. And we know this story so well. So here we have a mother, and she cannot give birth, and she's before God. And we read again, God has recorded it in his word. In 1 Samuel 1 and 10, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Now, Eli didn't understand her tears in the temple that day, but God understood them. And there might be others, and they don't understand your tears, and they don't understand the pressures that are on your family and are facing you as a father and as a mother, but God understands them. Because we read down in verse 15, Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto." Now, she was only talking to God direct, but she poured out her soul to him, and God understood her. And we read here in verse 17, Eli answered and said, "Go in peace. The God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." I think that's wonderful words of reassurance. When as parents we come before God, we pour out our heart to him, even our tears secretly before him, God hears them. They're recorded. They are recorded. They are taken down. And may you have the assurance that Hannah had as she left Eli that day, that God has heard your petition that you've asked of him for your son, your daughter, your family circle. God knows our tears and our sickness. Go with me, please, to 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. And verse 5. Here we have Hezekiah. He's just been told he's going to die. He's been told to set his house in order. But he turned to the Lord and he prayed. And God sent this message back to Hezekiah. "Turn again and tell Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, and I will heal thee." God hears our prayers. God sees our tears even when we're sick. Not every time God is going to heal us. Because Hezekiah did die. But this time God stepped into his life. He said, "Hezekiah, I'm going to give you a reprieve. I've seen your tears. There's a book of remembrance written for our tears. Maybe you've cried over a loved one that's sick and laid aside. God has seen your tears." God sees our tears when we mourn the passing of loved ones. I always be drawn to John's Gospel, chapter 10, that great chapter about the resurrection of Lazarus from the grave, the Lord Jesus Christ's dear friend. And we read in John's Gospel, chapter 10, about a family that was stricken down with grief. We read when Jesus came to that home, we read in verse 32, when Mary was come where Jesus was in Psalm. She fell down at his feet, saying, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. He saw them weeping. And then we read that he wept. Do not think that the Lord Jesus stands aloof when we mourn the passing of loved ones. He sees your tears. They're written down. There's a lovely verse in Isaiah 63 and 9. I was looking at it in the past week. It says, "In all their affliction, he was afflicted." In all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. What a record God keeps. I just skimmed over the surface of some of them, of all our earthly sorrows. God has kept a record of them all. And one day God, he's promised, I'll explain the reason why. Fourthly, God's book of remembrance, it contains a record of our service. A record of our service. This is the very key to this passage here in the book of Malachi, Malachi chapter 3, because this is all about service. In ancient times, great kings had history books written for them. Even great men of old had to be reminded of certain things. And oftentimes they called them remembrance books. They had pages written down of all the deeds that others had done for them. And then after intervening years, the scribe or the servant would come with that big book and would, or that scroll, and would read it out to the king. And that was how King Ahasuerus discovered the service that was done for him by Mordecai in Esther chapter 2 and verse 3. And God in like manner keeps a record of all of our service done for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing that you or I have ever done for God or for God's church or for the honour of God's Son that has been left out of that book of remembrance. How do I know? Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. That's a very special verse to me. As a young student many years ago, I was placed in Antrim. And I loved that work in Antrim. And it was so special to me. It was just like a first love. But the day came I had to leave it. And I remember at the farewell service, the Reverend David Linton preached in this very text, Hebrews 6 and 10. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labour of love. God could never forget the work and labour of love of his children. Every deed will receive its own due reward. Mark 9:41 tells us, "Whosoever shall give a cup of water to drink in my name, he shall not lose his reward." Just a glass of water. Somebody's thirsty, stops at your door, and they say, "Could have a glass of water." Now, that would very rarely happen here in Northern Ireland, where we don't have that type of weather. But if you lived in the east or you lived in hot climates, it could happen and does happen. People would stop and ask for a drink of water. Just a drink of water given in the Lord's name will never lose the Lord's reward. Many Christians labour on, and we have to be truthful. They don't get the recognition they deserve. Some faithful missionary in some far-flung corner labouring on for years. Does anybody ever give them the recognition? No. Some faithful soul in the church, and they labour on. And they're there Sunday by Sunday. They're faithful in praying and faithful in attending. Do people give them the recognition they deserve? No. I was in the church just a few weeks ago, and the pastor was telling me about a couple that came to the church. And when they came to the church, he asked them, "What can you contribute to the church?" And they said to the pastor, "We'll be there." He said they were an elderly couple. And he said, "I just thought to myself, well, that's going to be the height of it. They're going to be there." But he said they were there. Every time they were there. Every service they were there. Every prayer meeting they were there. Every deed, every work, every outreach in the church they were there. If health permitted them, they were there. And when they were no longer there, they were greatly missed. Because people realized all the great contribution that they really had made to the work. But whilst they were there, no. They were just those that were there. But when they were taken out of it, they were greatly missed. Their seat was absent. Oh, let me tell you, dear believer, don't labour for the recognition of others. Just labour for the well done of God. It'll be enough on that day when he says, well done. That'll be all the recognition that we'll ever need for all eternity. Finally, in God's book of remembrance, there's a record of our supplications. There's been no prayer, no supplication ever sent to heaven that went unrecorded. Sometimes, in my frustration, I have to share this with you. I might write to a politician, and I might vent my frustration at them, or maybe give a bit of a rant at them, and just let them know, you know, that there's people out there and they're watching what they're doing, etc., etc. But you know, doing that all these years, very few of those politicians have ever written back to me, even to acknowledge that they got a correspondence from me. But heaven says, no prayer was ever in supplication to heaven sent unrewarded or unnoticed. Revelation 5 and 8, it tells us, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odours, which are the prayers of the saints. Three prayers never thrown away. Don't ever say to yourself, well, it's only the prayer meeting before the service, or it's only the midweek prayer meeting, it doesn't really matter. Let me tell you, it matters immensely. That's our encouragement to persevere on, to pray on in the work of God. We have long, long since forgotten our first petitions, but God has recorded every one of them. Your first petition, God wrote it down. He's a record of every petition ever made. And you might think it makes no odds, but it makes all the difference. We mentioned Abraham just a minute ago. Remember the day that the Lord came to visit Abraham in Genesis chapter 18. The Lord and those angelic visitors before them went on to Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham got before the Lord and he pleaded with the Lord. And there at the end of Genesis chapter 18, we have one of the greatest intercessory examples of prayer in all of the Bible. And he interceded and he prayed with the Lord, don't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. If you find 50, if you find 40. And he brought it down to 10. And I believe Abraham, he was thinking of his wayward nephew Lot and his family. He said, don't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And did God remember his prayers? Well, Lot was spared. Sodom was judged. But we read in Genesis 19:29, it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham. What did he remember? He remembered the prayers of Genesis 18. Yes, Sodom was destroyed for its gross sin. And part of Lot's family was lost. But God stepped in. And God took Lot and his two wayward daughters out of Sodom and Gomorrah. If the future deliverance of your family and my family depended upon our supplications, what sort of a record is there in heaven of them? Or the book, when the books are opened, they say, well, we prayed for the family on that day and that day and that day and that day. Or when the books are open, what will the record read? Because remember, the records are being kept. There's a record of your supplications in glory. We read here in Malachi chapter 3 of that day when the books will be opened. On that great day, those that feared the Lord, the Bible says they will be as jewels in the crown of God. What will the records say when the books are opened about you and me? On that day, may it be clear, I pray it will be clear concerning your salvation. Let there be no doubt today about that. On that day, sin will be judged. If you have died and your sin, every sin, will be called to remembrance. On that day, dear believers, sorrows will be explained. Service will be rewarded. And then we'll look back as Abraham did and we'll realize, but God answered prayer. He answered prayer there on the journey. He answered prayer there in the journey. He answered prayer there in the journey. And through prayer, God brought us safely home and blessed our families. God is a book of remembrance. We remember a lot today. But let us recall that God, in his infinite records, nothing is forgotten. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please, as we close our meeting. Heavenly Father and eternal God, we thank thee today for heaven's record. We thank thee for God's book of remembrance. I pray today that everyone in this meeting will have a record in it of their salvation. That this man, this woman, this boy, this girl was born of the Lord on that date and in that place, and by his grace brought to know and love and trust him. O Lord, we pray that there'll be none on that day, if you ever attended on along, who doesn't have an entry in the Lamb's Book of Life. We pray you'll keep us pressing on in our service for the Lord and in our supplications to the Lord. And we pray you'll keep us busy, for the night is soon coming when no man can work. Depart us now in thy fear and with thy blessing. Take us back to our homes in safety. Watch over us throughout the afternoon. And in thy will and providence, bring us back again this evening. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.